Turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 21. I'm going to start off by reading 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. And that says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And tonight we've been looking ahead to the church mission trip to India. We've looked at the fact that on 9th of April we'll set off, eight of us, set off from Wombwell, 5:45 in the morning, to drive down to London, to Heathrow, to fly out to India. Sounds a bit echoey, doesn't it? We'll arrive first of all in Mumbai, and then we'll fly from Mumbai to Bangalore. And we should get into Bangalore at about 7:50 in the morning of Monday, which is about 2:20 UK time in the morning. Hopefully you'll all be in bed by the time we arrive. Gary and I are coming back on Easter Sunday, and the others come back the following Sunday. And, you know, it's going to be an exciting time, a nerve-wracking time, I'm sure, a faith-building time for the eight of us. But it's also something that involves every single one of you, because this is a church mission trip. It's not a holiday that we're taking, although there will be sightseeing involved, but it's a mission trip, and there's a big difference between those two things. And you might be thinking, well, you know, they're going to India, but that doesn't really involve me at all. But we're one body in Christ, and therefore it does involve every single one of you. Your giving financially has been very important to our going. That's always the case with any kind of ministry that the church is involved in. People have given gifts to help us to go to India. The coffee morning has been raising money each week, each Saturday, to the mission fund. Church is paying for our transport down to London and for the minibus that Frederick's hiring that's going to take us around all the different places when we're in India. It's paying for the visas that we need to get there. And very generously, it's paid for the flights for Gary and myself to go to India. So we're incredibly grateful for your generosity, because that's helped us to go to India. We're grateful for the commitment of the people who are going, because they've dug deep into their own pockets as well, because they've paid for their own flights, for their accommodation, for the meals while they're out there. As a church, we'll be taking some gifts with us, and we'll be giving money to the work that Frederick and Reba are doing. We'll be taking money for the tailoring program, for the talking Bibles that they use in evangelism, and for the street ministry to children. And if you want to give anything else, you're very welcome to do so. Just put it in an envelope marked India, and we'll make sure that that money goes to India. But your involvement doesn't just stop at giving. Everything that we do as a church has to be undergirded by prayer. And prayer is so important to everything that we do as individuals and as a body. In Ephesians 6, Paul says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." And that's a good prayer for you to take on board before, during, and after the mission trip. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Those of you that get up early in the morning, pray then. People who are at home in the daytime, pray during the daytime. Those of you who are night owls, pray at night. And if anybody suffers from insomnia and you just can't sleep at all, pray for us then as well then, on all occasions. Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. You know, prayer includes the very practical, doesn't it? We need good health. We don't want to succumb to Deli Belly. Yeah? We don't want to spend the entire trip running to the toilets. We don't want to be burning up with fever or driven crazy by insect bites. You know? Pray these practical prayers. We need good spirits. We don't want to be fearful and downhearted. We want God's joy to be visible in us. Even when we're tired and jet-lagged and scared, we want to have God's joy in us. We need unity. You know, normally we only spend a few hours together each week, don't we? We're going to be with each other for a week, 2 weeks, 24/7. You know, we need prayer that we will all get along with each other, that we'll have patience with each other, because we're all different. We can all get on each other's nerves, you know, when you're together all the time. But pray that we'll be understanding and compassionate and forgiving and kind to each other. Prayer touches every single aspect of life, every single area. So pray with imagination and insight, asking God to guide you as you pray. It says, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Don't just pray for us. Pray for the rest of the church here. Pray for the families that aren't going to India, to have peace, to be able to cope. You know, pray especially for Lincoln and for Mark's mum, as Mark and Debbie are away. Pray for Lorraine and for the rest of the family. Pray for Mark and Diane's children and grandchildren, and for Dave and Joan. Pray for Karen and Stephen and Amber as Chantelle's away. Pray for my dad, Graham, and for Stephen, Stacey and Esther while we're away. You know, it's not always easy when people are away. They're missed. Pray for all the families involved. Pray for those who are left holding the fort at church. Yeah? Pray for the meetings that you're having here in our absence. Pray for God's people in India, for Frederick, for Reba, for their family, and for all God's people that we'll be meeting and the people that we'll be ministering to. Your prayers actually fuel the work that we will be doing in India. You're part of that work, because prayer is the work in so many ways. It says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And that's perhaps one of the most important prayers that you can pray for us. We go to India excited, but in all honesty, you know, there's a sense of fear and trembling as well. We feel inadequate. We feel afraid at times. It's the unknown. But as you pray, God is able to give us his words. Jesus said, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Mark 13, verse 11 says, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Now, I sincerely hope that we're not going to be arrested and brought to trial while we're in India. But the prayer, you know, is the same. We want God, by his Spirit, to give us the words to speak. You know, we want God's word, life-changing words, words that don't just come from our imaginations or our cultural upbringing or our own minds, but words that come from God. You know, we're going to India to help people, to show them support and love, but we need to make known as well, fearlessly, the mystery of the gospel. We want to talk about God's saving power and his amazing grace. We're going out ultimately as ambassadors of Christ. That reading from 2 Corinthians 5 makes it very plain. And an ambassador is a representative for a country, a diplomat that's accredited and sent out by a state as its permanent representative to that country. And in one sense, we're going as your representatives. We're not going as 8 individuals who just happen to know each other and are going out together, but we're going from Goldthorpe Pentecostal Community Church. We're going from Goldthorpe, we're going from the UK. Ultimately, we're going from God. And we're not going simply to see the sights and smell the smells and savour the experiences of a foreign country. We're going because we're compelled by Christ's love. Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We're going to India because God's love moves us. We're so grateful to him that we can't live for ourselves any longer. And Christians need to have that global mindset. We don't need to be parochial people that just think about where we are, only caring about ourselves and our own church. But we need to be committed not only to our local community as we are, but to the whole world, because Christ died for the whole world. There's no place for looking at people, it says, from a worldly point of view anymore. Treating people just as commodities. Looking at people just to see what they can do for us. We've got to look at people with God's eyes. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And he's committed now that message of reconciliation to us. And you know, frankly, if I'd been God, I wouldn't have done it that way. But that's what he in his infinite wisdom has done. And each one of us, every single one of us here, is called to be an ambassador for Christ. You know, in the Foreign Office, the ambassador's the top dog, the top representative. There are all kinds of other workers in the Foreign Office who don't have that ranking. But in God, we're all entrusted with the message of reconciliation, and we're all called to be Christ's ambassadors. You are his ambassador right here, right where you live, right where you work. You're his ambassador in your street, in your gym, in your club. That's a ministry that we can all share. And as we go to India, the ultimate purpose of the trip is found in verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And whatever we do, whether it's in a gospel meeting, or whether we're meeting and talking with the ladies who are sewing, whether we're talking with children on the streets, whether we're praying with people in their homes, or teaching the children in Sunday school, or anything else which may come up during that time, we believe it will be as though God is making his appeal through us. Everything that we do, Paul says to the Colossians, is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving to God. And that's how all of us need to be living all the time anyway. Going to India really is just an extension of our ordinary everyday lives. You know, we're really excited about the trip. Everybody's going to talk about it in a minute. You know, we're excited to be going to a country that none of us has visited before. We're excited to be involved in outreach in a manner and a place that we've not experienced before. But most of all, we're excited because it's an opportunity to live not for ourselves, but for Christ, who died for the whole world and who is now alive forevermore. You know, we're excited because as a church, we're boldly going where we've never been before. We've never done this kind of thing before. And we know that everybody will be affected by this trip. We believe that Goldthorpe will be affected by this trip. Whether we're in Goldthorpe, whether we're in India, the reason, though, for mission remains the same. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We want to be a blessing to Frederick and to Reba and to their church, to the people of Bangalore, and we pray that ultimately our service will bless God's heart and demonstrate our obedience and our love for him. Tonight we're going to be praying as we, you know, as we close this service. We've got prayer cards for you in the shape of India with the people on it, so that you can see our lovely faces and remember us, and things to pray for on the back. But please keep praying on all occasions for all the Lord's people, for us to be fearless, to be bold to speak God's word. And we'll pray for you too. Yeah? Pray for Frederick and Reba, for the church in India and everywhere else. And pray most of all that the mystery of the gospel may be made known to everybody. Amen.